Blog Talk Radio.
That for the first time in human history, for the first time in all of human history, almost all of mankind is politically awake. And these new and old major powers face still yet another novel reality, in some respects unprecedented. And it is that while the lethality of their power is greater than ever, their capacity to impose control over the politically awakened masses of the world is at a historical low. I once put it rather pungently, and I was flattered that the British Foreign Secretary repeated this, as follows. Namely, in earlier times, it was easier to control a million people. Literally, it was easier to control a million people than physically to kill a million people. Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people. It is easier to kill than to control.
And you will know us by the trail of dead.
The truth of your world government has now been exposed. We know you are ruthless. We know you are evil. Today the Rockefeller, the Rothschild representatives here, to the Queen of the Netherlands, to all of you, we tell you, you are not our queens. You are not our kings. You are not our gods. We do not belong to you. We are not your slaves. We stand as free humans and stood since the beginning of time against the strong men, against the thugs, against the bullies. We will defeat your world government. We will defeat world taxation. We will defeat your control grid. God is on our side. I stand before the Creator of the universe. And I ask the Creator of the universe, as our founding fathers did in 1776, to lead, guide, and direct us, and to give us the power and the foresight and the understanding and the will to stand against your entire agenda, including your final plan of world population reduction of 80% that Henry Kissinger penned in 1973. Why do you put mercury in the vaccines instead of sodium chloride in the water? Why? Why do you put cancer viruses in the vaccines? Why have you used depleted uranium now in four separate nations? You're arrogant. You have the sickness that elites have had throughout history in their literal and, in some cases, figurative ivory towers. You believe that you're invincible. You will and you are failing now. Your new world order will fall. Humanity will defeat you. The answer to 1984 is 1776.
The orders you're taking right now are unconstitutional. Understand right now what you guys are doing here today will play a effect throughout history. We are tired of these private Federal Reserve bankers who are running this country and destroying this country from the inside. The tyranny that they committed against you and your family as well. You would have stand here as Americans because we know our founding fathers died for this very right.
I declare this to be an unlawful assembly. I order all those assembled to immediately disperse. You must leave the immediate vicinity. If you remain in this immediate vicinity, you will be in violation of the Crimes Code, no matter what your purpose is. You must leave. If you do not disperse, you may be arrested and or subject to other police action. Other police action may include actual physical removal, the use of riot control agents and or less lethal munitions, which could cause risk of injury to those who remain.
If the American people allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation and then by deflation, the banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. Thomas Jefferson.
We must be
Yeah! Welcome to blogtalkradio.com/truthemerges. Radio Network, you are listening to The Sunny Thomas Show with your guest host, Catastrophe. And you were just listening to Animal Grace perform Nowhere Fast. Tonight's show, the GOP. We're going to be talking about the gap in the GOP and sociopathy and world leadership. But first, we're going to go over to The Sunny Thomas Show page, and we're going to listen to our host, Sunny Thomas, and he left a vlog for us over there, so let's head on over there first and see what he has to say to us. So here we go.
Here on
Okay.
This is Sunny Thomas here from the Sunny Thomas Show here on blogtalkradio.com/truthemerges. Radio Network. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Sunny Thomas Show, as well as Truth Emerges RDO. That's Truth Emerges RDO. Look at Sunny Thomas Show as well as Truth Emerges RDO. Just want to cover a couple different things here. Just some of the stuff that's going on. Interesting enough, and I have to arguably say it is really sad out of almost 20 candidates for the Republican Party, the only one that even gets people remotely interested in politics and even listening to what's going on Donald Trump. I mean, Christ, he sounds like Ronald Reagan in many ways. I mean, he sounds like a John Berger. I mean, he absolutely is the only social conservative that we really have. None of the other candidates are worth a shit. They're all pro-Israel. They're all bow down and genuflect to the Wailing Wall and all that other bullshit and lick the boots of their Jew masters. Arguably, though, they are also, he's just as much in the bag with them as anybody else. I mean, matter of fact, I think somewhere his ex-wife and obviously his daughter are both part Jewish as well. So, I mean, not much of a free reign thing there, but that does say a lot. But recently on Special Report with Brett Baer, Chris Christie was on last week. I should watch the conversation there for a while. Two things that he kept saying that obviously shows what's obviously how they think in the neocon world of politics. They kept referring to Russian aggression and Putin as basically the next Hitler, the next Saddam Hussein. I mean, this is tough shit that's going on. He also said, I would also tell the people, the countries of Eastern Europe, not to worry about your energy needs because Canada, United States, and Mexico can take care of those needs for you. Read between the lines, i.e., North American Union. Also, we have the thing that's coming up next week, which is February 23rd, which Space Cadet covered very well here on the show recently, talking about all things that are going to happen. For example, it's a Jewish holiday. It's also the Pope, for the first time in history, speaks to the UN. CERN is actually planning on opening up a portal to another dimension, which could arguably let Satan in, if you want to say it that way. At the same time, you've got last of the blood moons are coming, and also they say the possible beginning of the Trinity Messiah or the Antichrist as well. So that could also lead to CERN door opening and some of the other crazy stuff. So Space Cadet will actually cover some of that detail again. If I go back to the show recently and listen to it over, she really covers a lot of stuff in great detail. Sure. So, again, always thanks to my contributors for putting good stuff out and covering many bases that I may sometimes miss. The bottom line is, it's sad enough to say that Trump is actually getting people somewhat excited, which is funny. But the bottom line is, again, especially Rand Paul is probably the biggest disappointment of the entire bunch. John Kasich needs to step out. Again, I cannot stress this enough. It is absolutely a point that a sitting governor of Ohio, who not only has to be elected once but twice, no sooner did he win his re-election, is already running for a higher office while he's still sitting in the governor's mansion. Unacceptable on multiple levels. We are not a stepping stone, sir. Your job is to take care of the great sovereign state of Ohio and worry about nothing else. So we're going to actually, I'm working on a proposal to put through the GOP that we basically totally emasculate him politically on this particular thing, that no future Republican governor, at least at the start, can run for higher office while he's in office, regardless if he's lame duck or not. Again, now if he's drafted for a VP pick, that's different. Those are different politics. The bottom line is not to actively seek any higher office while as an incumbent. I don't give a damn, again, if he's terming out. The bottom line is finish your term, take a little time out, then run for higher office. That way people have a break and a fresh breath before you go and run. That's pretty much the issue on that. Okay, make sure you follow us on Sunny Thomas Show on Twitter, sunnythomas.com, SternbergTeaPlayer.com, or .org, CFCCOhio.org, and BHMB.com. And lastly, real quick, Fairmont High School in Kettering threw a big old shit fit about the kids in their trucks having Confederate flags. And, of course, the local NAACP enforced this rule, banning any type of Confederate flags on school property. Had I had a little bit more time to organize this thing, we'd have had a counter protest on the sidewalk and absolutely go ape shit on it. Further shows the NAACP should be defined as a terrorist organization and should be dealt with accordingly. So anyway, but that's just my thing. All right, so that's my off, and the show is coming together very nicely. I'm very much looking forward to a relaunch. We're going to feature a lot more local music in the mix as well. So that's my off.
All right. Thank you to our host, Sunny Thomas, and we're going to go ahead and continue scrolling. And if you did not see, if you're on the page right now listening, if you didn't see on the page, we have pinned at the top of his page the vlog from your host. If you'd like to listen to that again, you're welcome to. Lots of good talking points. We appreciate that. Thank you, Sunny. All right. We're going to go down to our first post here, and this is something that I shared from a Facebook page site for a book entitled The Empathy Trap Book, and that is the English or British title of the book. There's an American version called The Sociopath at the Breakfast Table. Seriously, that is the title. But anyway, this is a quote from Machiavelli. It gives on one side in French, that is French, what his statement was, and then on the right, the translation, to better betray, affect an air of benevolence, lie, beguile, disguise the truth, cover the wolf with a pretense of holiness, seem devout and be nothing but a hypocrite. So as you can tell, some of the things that I shared on here are relative to our topic today. We're going to be talking about sociopathy or sociopaths and a little bit of psychology, but really We're delving into some of this because as we're getting into this election cycle and when we're talking about the Jewish question, which next week we'll go ahead and come back to that part two. We're looking at the big picture. You know, the question has always come in my mind, why do people act the way they do? And so it's good to kind of tear that apart and examine it. And, you know, when you wonder why people can do what they do, it's always good to look at the possible explanation. It helps you to understand that you get to where you recognize what something is and how to avoid it. So anyway, okay, so we're going to go down a little bit further. Space Cadet shared some very, very wonderful information with us last week, very crucial for some things that are coming up this month. And, of course, we laughed about the fact, if you were listening last week, we laughed about the fact that the next show is on the 24th, and we're hoping to be able to have opportunity to finish our subject matter and to do that on the 24th. But a lot of things are coming up on the 23rd. And so we shared some of what she was talking about, 23rd of September 2015, the end of days. It's become a viral date, September 23rd is. There are so many events to happen in the very near future. So that's up there. That's available for you. Also, she had shared some other information, 2.3 billion souls to experience frequency shift on September 28th. We're going to continue to scroll down. The Rothschild family full documentary. I thought this would be helpful to some people who might be questioning who the Rothschilds are and their actual history. We talk about the international bankers. We talk about their claim to being Jewish. And for those that don't know, the Rothschilds, which means Red Shield, originally the name was Bauer. It was not Rothschild. And they are Ashkenazim. They are German and questionably Jews. So, but they are... some refer to it as the synagogue of Satan. They are really into world domination and world power. So we're going to continue down. Reflections and warnings, an interview with Aaron Rousseau. We've got the full film here. And then Aaron Rousseau's documentary, America, Freedom to Fascism. So those are some interesting, very interesting. Actually, I would say that's a must listen and a must watch. I would put that on my list. And okay, let's continue to go down. We have some wonderful wonderful information shared by our host and also by Corinne Smith and others who have been contributing to the page. We're going to go ahead and start talking tonight about last night's GOP debate. It's almost cute because of the job that I work currently. I'm a manager somewhere, and I'm very busy, and so it's not always available for me to watch debates or to do different things that, you know, at the time that it is. But thankfully, we have YouTube that you can go back and look things up. And so I was watching the debates today, and whoever put up the copy that I watched had little balloons, little speech balloons. Want to watch a quick laugh? Watch this, and then I would have it above whoever was talking. And so I listened to it and read some highlights and different information so that I would have obviously an informed opinion, and also because I wanted to know where things were at, because I was a staunch Ron Paul supporter, as many others were in the last election cycle. I wanted to get a feel for where things were and for Rand to see where he's at. If, you know, I supported Ron Paul, my family did as well, and had the opportunity, because of the state we're in and because of our involvement in the GOP, we had the opportunity to get to meet him and to meet his family and to be around them on various occasions. And I have to be honest, it was very, very, very disappointing to us when Rand endorsed Romney during his father's campaign. You know, there were some things that happened that just split the Liberty Movement and caused a lot of problems and a rift. So, you know, we're keeping an eye on Rand. If you're still in the system and you're listening, it's just really interesting. Watching the debate last night, I got the sense that I was watching a beauty pageant, except they were all throwing Miss America, you know, they were all throwing mud at each other. It was just the craziest thing. You know, they're all vying, they're all contending for the GOP crown, basically. And yet, you're not any taller by standing on someone else's dead body, you know. And then, yet that's what they were doing. They were tearing each other down to be able to get everyone's attention and to bring a really intelligent argument to the table. There was very little of that. I did appreciate what Rand said concerning keeping talks going with China or staying open in communication. Because right now China owns us, and they, you know, they're already here. As Sunny mentioned, our host mentioned about the North American Union. You know, if you follow what happened, the NORTHCOM agreement between Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. years ago under Bush, then you know that we already have China and Russia here in North America. That under the UN flag, there are already troops that are here to put down civil unrest. That was part of the agreement, is that each of the countries would help the other to put down civil unrest of their own citizens in their country. So knowing that, you know, it's probably wise to keep communication in line. So we owe them a lot of money too. China pretty much owns us. So we're going to listen to just a couple of quick little blurbs from the GOP debate from last night. And if you watched it, then this is probably going to sound pretty familiar. So here you go.
Standing up here, and the donors, the special interests, the lobbyists have very strong power over these people. I'm spending all of my money. I'm not getting any. I turned down so much. I could have right now from special interests and donors, I could have double and triple what he's got. I turned it down. I turned down last week $5 million from somebody. So I will tell you, I understand the game. I've been on the other side all of my life, and they have a lot of control over our politicians. And I don't say that favorably, and I'm not sure if there's another system, but I say this. I am not accepting any money from anybody. Nobody has control of me other than the people of this country. I'm going to do the right thing.
That was Donald Trump, and that really all sounds well and good, except Mr. Trump, you know, he's not accepting money from other people, so that it would appear that he is not on anybody's payroll. He knows how the system works. However, we know that he's already in bed with other special interest groups, and because he's a businessman first and then a politician, I guess you might say, because of how he's made his wealth and what his basic morals are, you know, I'm not so sure that it matters whether it's his money or somebody else's necessarily. You can be on your own payroll and have your own interest and be your own job or your own boss and provide your own job. So anyway, Mr. Trump is very interesting. This was the strangest, by far, GOP debate I have ever watched. When Ron Paul was running again, you know, especially in 2012. Oh, let's turn that off. Sorry. When he was running, he brought interesting talking points. He brought intelligent conversation to the table. You know, he wasn't just there with empty rhetoric. And so I kind of missed that because it was wonderful to see him continue to say intelligent things. And whether people got it or not, you know, you'd watch them make fun of him. It was always an opportunity to hear intelligent conversation. This was the strangest debate I've ever heard. It wasn't a debate. It was a mud-throwing contest. And it was just very strange to hear, you know, conversations regarding who's the wife of whoever it was, you know, that she's from Mexico and that's therefore your sympathies and I want you to apologize to my wife right here. That was grandstanding. That was, you know, I'm going to thump on my chest and you better. I mean, that was just very strange, but it had nothing to do with, you know, being a leader of this country and stepping up to the plate and making things happen in the U.S. It was all about, I'm going to be king of the jungle and, you know, you better listen to me. So anyway, it was very entertaining to watch and to listen to on that level. But, you know, I don't know about you, but I just thought, oh, my goodness. And this is where I'm at, and everyone gets to a different place on their own. Why do I feel that these people, and I say people because obviously there is a female in the mix, why do I feel like those that are involved with the GOP, that they just are not bringing anything to the table for liberty, that they're not supporting those principles, that they're not, they're all working within the same system that is granting you your rights and allowing you to do things. And actually, your rights are intrinsic, and they were given to you. They were granted by your creator. The written documents that our forefathers wrote, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence, those are beautiful documents that define the position that these men took. They're stating the obvious, that all men are created and that they're granted with inalienable rights by their creator. They didn't say in those documents, we are giving you those rights by this Constitution or this piece of paper. They were taking a position and a stand. They were declaring this and saying, this is our position. As sovereign individuals, we are coming together, and this is what we're saying. And so for those who look at those documents as what grants them their rights, you're way off, because with or without the document, you have that right. It's already yours. You were born with it. You were created with it. So, you know, you don't need that piece of paper to give that to you. I think that's very important in understanding what government is, the purpose of government, and do you really need external governance? If you govern yourself wisely, and you live by the laws that respect others and that respect their liberty, do you need someone else telling you what to do and how to live. I was thinking about it the other day, and I've had this conversation with various friends around campfires and at fireplaces and different places that we've discussed liberty in, and we've discussed politics or the need or lack thereof. And when you look at individual sovereignty and you understand the form of government that we have, then you understand that as you watch the left and the right, each one is they're grabbing for the power stick. There's this invisible power stick, and they're going to get that power over your life, but they're going to get the stick back. The Republicans are, and then the Democrats won't have the stick anymore, and then we can tell everybody what to do. Until, you know, and we'll get lots of power in our power stick. Uh-oh, somebody else grabbed the power stick, and now they have all the power, and now they're going to make you do X, Y, or Z, just the opposite. You see, liberty does not believe in a power stick. And so when you have those who are saying that you are given your rights by government, when you have those who are holding that over your head, so to speak, that is the opposite of liberty. And so when I do not subject myself to that, I am retaining my individual sovereignty. I had the opportunity, oh my goodness, this is 2015, it would have been last spring, a year ago last April, our county GOP chairman had called me up and asked me, because I was very involved in our political process here the last two presidential cycles and otherwise. And he called and said, would you be a delegate? I said, no, I'm not going to do this again. You know, I saw so much corruption. I saw that it was a waste of our time what we did. We're allowed to do so much, the hamster on the wheel. We're allowed, you know, but we raise money for them. We're not going to do this again. So he said, well, will you come in and work with our junior delegates? You know, because he knew I worked in education for many years, and I love kids, and I love teaching, and I love liberty, and what an opportunity. And he knew what he was doing. I said, sure, Rick, I'll come in and I'll work with them. And so I came in while the adults were in the other room, at the county convention, and they were, you know, bringing up planks that they wished to vote on and to talk about for the county platform. I had probably 12 to 13 youth from the ages of 12 years old to 17. And I was to help them. This is what they did. They were to choose one of the planks, and they were to from our platform, and they were to rewrite it, and then it would be accepted by the adults. They didn't even vote on it. I mean, that's just the way the county decided it. So, and in fact, as odd as it may sound, Iowa does that at state level too. So, and at the district level. So I was with these kids, and I talked to them, and I said, you know, we're going to talk about each, you know, you guys come from like the cream of the crop. You come from the families who have been very involved in the GOP, and you're here, your parents, you already know a lot of the process. This is what a platform is. It's a physical platform. It's made out of planks. This is what a political platform is, and it's made out of individual planks as well. And those planks are the party position on different issues and topics. And so, you know, I talked to them and I said, during this time, this is the process that works and has been used in this country. This is the way we've decided to do it. When it breaks down and it doesn't work anymore, what are you going to do? You know, I asked them, I said, what are you going to do when this doesn't work? They said, you have a voice. You are individual sovereign beings, and you have power in and of yourself. The form of government that is closest to you, where you still have that voice, is the form of government that helps you to retain your power. By not exercising your voice, you're giving that power over. And so you better use your voice while you have it here today. Otherwise, you're going to let others decide for you. But I said to them, what happens when this thing breaks down? What are you going to do? How are you going to retain your power when this system no longer works? And then we talked about the Declaration of Independence and what Thomas Jefferson stated, and that is that it is our duty to take down tyrannical government. In the event of, you know, tyranny, it is our duty It isn't a choice, and it isn't an option. It's our duty. It's our responsibility. And I said to them, you know, you need to look back at what the founding fathers, you're going to talk about those documents. Let's look back and see how they did what they did. You know, how did they take down tyrannical government? And the looks on their faces, they knew. And I looked at every one of them and I said, the world is changing. You are the next generation. We are handing you a world and a country that is fast deteriorating, and your rights, your voice, your power, it's pretty much been taken away. This mess is going to you, and this process isn't working necessarily anymore. You're going to have to think seriously. The older ones, they could see it on their face. They knew. So they chose a platform, or they chose, a plank, not one that I necessarily would have chosen, but they did choose it. They chose gay marriage, and this is Iowa, and I thought that was very interesting. I was looking at the agriculture part of our platform. I was like, you know, let's do this. But they chose gay marriage, and they came to the conclusion that it is not the place of government to tell people, that they can get married or not, that government does not have power over a marriage. A man and a woman getting married, it's not government's place. They're not a part of that marriage. Now, those who are enlightened and know the truth and know about the Organic Act of 1871 know that the United States then became a corporation, and that there are assets, and that we are assets. That's why we have numbers that are children. That's why they have a license. That's why they have certificates, because they belong to the corporation. And so we know that really, in the business sense, yeah, we are, if you know anything about that. But in the truth about us as sovereign beings, that is not so. And again, what you give your power over to, that's what you submit to. So, all right, I am looking at the time here, and we are probably going to do a commercial break and a song in just a minute, but I'm going to look. It looks like we have someone on hold, and I want to see if it's who I'm hoping it is. And I apologize that I do not know phone numbers well enough to necessarily recognize this phone number. So let's see who it is, if it is who I think it is. And it is not. This is not. I'm waiting for a phone call to come in, and I don't think that's who it is. Tonight, there we go. All right. Space Cadet was kind of busy tonight, and we're hoping next week that we'll be able to, you know, finish that show that we started last week. But she said if she gets an opportunity, she's going to give me a call, but she's got a lot of things on her plate tonight. So anyway, individual sovereignty, that's where we were at. And on that note, we are going to listen to a song by Liberty singer, songwriter, activist Jordan Page. Those of you who do not know Jordan or haven't heard his music, he's got a lot of stuff on YouTube. Incredibly gifted singer, songwriter, guitarist, and personal friend, if I might say. He and his wife Mary, and their five little pages out of their page book. They're just as cute as can be. And they just recently moved from the Midwest out to Montana. So shout out to Jordan Page and to Mary, and to their family. Love you all. And if you're listening, or if you do listen anytime in the near future, hoping to get out to Montana to see you. That would be wonderful. Giving a shout out to our contributing editors for the page tonight, to Toto, and all the good stuff that Toto puts out on the page, lots of good stuff, and to Corinne. And also, we also have, I'm so tired, Space Cadet, and I am thinking there's a couple of others that off the top of my head, I do not have their name coming, so I apologize for that. Okay, let's see here. Where are you, Jordan? Oh, we're just about there. And the song I'm going to play is actually, this was Jordan's wake-up song. He wrote it he's talked about this when he's done concerts and stuff. He wrote this song not even really realizing what he was singing, and he sang it in Washington, D.C. at a big rally and brought the place down. So this is the song Pendulum by Jordan Page, and hope you'll enjoy the song, and we'll be right back.
I've been walking a tightrope between fact and fiction, been wrestling with demons in small bottle prisons, been talking to sinners who claim to be Christian, but shouting at leaders who claim to be listening. And the pendulum swings from the left to the right, its momentum increases the need for the fight. Like a moment of blindness and a lifetime of sight, and I am caught somewhere in the middle.
Fluoride and the pineal gland. Up until the 1990s, no research had ever been conducted to determine the impact of fluoride on the pineal gland, a small gland located between the two hemispheres of the brain that regulates the production of the hormone melatonin. Melatonin is a hormone that helps regulate the onset of puberty and helps protect the body from cell damage caused by free radicals. It is now known, thanks to the meticulous research of Dr. Jennifer Luke from the University of Surrey in England, that the pineal gland is the primary target of fluoride accumulation within the body. The soft tissue of the adult pineal gland contains more fluoride than any other soft tissue in the body, a level of fluoride capable of inhibiting enzymes, about 300 parts per million. The pineal gland also contains hard tissue, hydroxyapatite crystals, and this hard tissue accumulates up to 21,000 parts per million, which is more fluoride than any other hard tissue in the body, e.g. teeth and bone. After finding that the pineal gland is the major target for fluoride accumulation in humans, Dr. Luke conducted animal experiments to determine if the accumulated fluoride could impact the functioning of the gland, particularly the gland's regulation of melatonin. Luke summarized her human and animal findings as follows. In conclusion, the human pineal gland contains the highest concentration of fluoride in the body. Fluoride is associated with depressed pineal melatonin synthesis by prepubertal gerbils and an accelerated onset of sexual maturation in female gerbils. The result strengthens the hypothesis that the pineal has a role in the timing of the onset of puberty. Whether or not fluoride interferes with the pineal function in humans requires further investigation. In a more recent study titled Fluoride Deposition in the Aged Human Pineal Gland, the study concludes this way. In conclusion, this study presented evidence that the fluoride readily accumulates in the aged pineal. Fluoride may also accumulate in the child's pineal because significant amounts of calcification have been demonstrated in the pineals from young children. In fact, calcification of the developing enamel organs and the pineal gland occur concurrently. If fluoride does accumulate in the child's pineal, the pineolocytes will be exposed to a relatively high local concentration of fluoride. Fluoride has been associated with many other health problems, including allergies, arthritis, bone disease, cancer, dental fluorosis, gastrointestinal issues, immune system problems, kidney problems, respiratory and reproductive problems, thyroid gland issues, and tooth decay. To learn more about it, go to fluoridealert.org or fluorideaction.com. There are a number of ways to reduce or even eliminate fluoride from your water supplies. The first would be activism. Write a letter to your congressman, or to your mayor, or to your governor, or to your local municipal water supplier, and tell them that you oppose water fluoridation. Unfortunately, there are only a few methods for filtering out fluoride from our water supplies. One is reverse osmosis filtration systems for our homes. Another is similar, installing a home distilling process for our home water supplies. The method that I prefer is the gravity-based Berkey-type water filters. Number one, because it's the cheapest option, both initially and over time, as the filters can last a year or more, and they can be cleaned. It's portable, too, which means to me it's more versatile, and it's the only one that doesn't rely on your home water system working. Which is important because historically, in the event of a disaster, the water supplies are usually the first system to go.
Charlie Kelly here, local business owner and cat enthusiast. Is your cat making too much noise all the time? Is your cat constantly stomping around, driving you crazy? Is your cat clawing at your furniture? Think there's no answer? You're so stupid. There is. Hello, Charlie Kelly here, local business owner and cat enthusiast. Is your cat making too much noise all the time? Is your cat constantly stomping around, driving you crazy? Is your cat clawing at your furniture? Think there's no answer? You're so stupid. There is. Kitten Mittens. Finally, there's an elegant, comfortable mitten for cats. I couldn't hear anything. Is your cat one-legged? Is your cat fat, skinny, or an in-between? That doesn't matter, because one size fits all. Kitten Mittens. You'll be smitten. So come on down to Patty's Pub. We're the home of the original Kitten Mittens. Meow.
All right. Welcome back to the Sunny Thomas Show. This is your guest host, Catastrophe, and that was Iron Eagle. No, wrong. That was Homeland singing Modern Man, and love it. Good music. So, all right. We're talking about sociopathy and world leadership and politics. And I've got an article here. I shared this on the Sunny Thomas Show page. It's entitled 10 Professions That Attract the Most Sociopaths. You wonder, again, you know, why are we talking about this? And the reason we're talking about it is not just because of the powers that be that are affecting our world, and you know, but also it's good to have an understanding, even up close and personal. So I'm going to read this, some of this article. I think it's noteworthy. Our notions of good and evil are malleable and evolving as the society around us. Whereas once we used to burn opinionated women as witches or assume seizures were a sign of demonic possessions, we now rely on scientific inquiry and skepticism to define the world around us. This has led to a wide array of psychological categories, groups, and behaviors through which we self-identify: introvert, type A, depressed, delusional, egotistical, or sociopath. Those are all terms I know you're probably familiar with. There are still ongoing disputes in the field of psychiatry, and the inner workings of the mind remain a great scientific mystery yet to be fully explored. And I'm going to pause and apologize there. You know, I'm kind of stuttering around tonight, to be honest, folks. I am so tired. But in my world, it's probably late at night in your world as well. And so I apologize. Probably should have drank a pot of coffee before I started here. But let's go ahead and pick that up. However, when it comes to sociopathy, we seem to have a somewhat functioning definition: the lack of empathy, emotions, or ability to identify with others, coupled with a superficial charm, persuasiveness, focus, and egomania. All right. Chew on that, digest it, apply it. All right. It might surprise some to learn, however, that the vast majority of sociopaths aren't killers lurking in the shadows. Oh, no. Most of them are walking around us, among us, immersed in careers that nurture their psychological traits and, in some cases, even reward them. Here are the top 10 jobs that attract sociopaths, according to author Kevin Dutton. And this is really good. Are you ready? Number one, CEO. Donald Trump. Did I say that? Oh, yeah. With the heartless greed and sadistic ambition displayed on Wall Street since the 2008 financial collapse, it may come as no surprise that the first place on the list goes to the modern age equivalent of a pharaoh. Capitalist positions of leadership offer power, autonomy, command, and status, a perfect battlefield for the ambitious and rich to compete. Where once pyramids littered the desert in tribute to vain kings, we now have skyscrapers and corporate logos still in the clouds above. Number two, lawyer. Lawyers cloak themselves in the language of their field, making the layman reliant on their expertise to survive in a courtroom. In the fog of legalese, linguistics, and glibly twisted logic, you better pray your lawyer is the most bloodthirsty of the two. There's a reason Shakespeare hated them so much, and why they continue to be the butt of so many jokes. Lawyers have a reputation for distorting the systems of equality, specifically for the purposes of ensuring their financial success. For every white knight district attorney looking to uphold the pillars of justice, you are sure to find a handful of bleak-hearted cynics and cutthroats. And I'm reminded as I'm reading this, there's a movie, what is his name? Aaron Eckhart, yes. And he played the lead, he and Katie, what's her face? Anyway, very funny movie, Thank You for Smoking, where he says to his son, well, son, I guess you just have to have flexible morals. That term, flexible morals, it cracks me up. But pretty much that's what you're talking about here, too. Media. Number three is media. If our collective society is a living organism, where better for the egomaniac to reside than on the radio or TV? Uh-oh, I better be quiet. Anyway, yeah, and yeah, never mind. To be the voice of the people, okay, and we're talking about CNN and Ted Koppel and, yeah, the face of their information and entertainment, and to influence our collective minds. Of course, once your self-worth becomes invariably tied to your ratings and popularity, you're in for an eventual downfall or depression and despair. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Number four, a salesperson. In a numbers game, there's no room for emotion. Who has the greatest mental prowess? Manipulative charm. Who can wield the finest array of half-truths to convince a customer and close a sale? For those who like to compete for status and feed an ego through the defeat of colleagues, there is no better place to be than sales. Number five, surgeon. The field of surgery offers more than the power of life and death. It's a clinical world of high-pressure stakes where decisions must be made without emotion. What job nurtures a bigger power complex than one where you can cut people open on a daily basis, tinker with their frail internal mechanics, and aggrandize your status as a giver or taker of life? Number six, journalist. Much in the same way that media attracts the egomaniac, journalism and writing in general can draw those who wish to be revered from a distance. And actually, I ran into someone the other day, oddly enough, who used to write for our local newspaper, a column. And you could tell when I said, oh, I recognize you, you're so-and-so. And she just, yeah. Anyway, that's her world. The ability to embed ideas and conversations in paper and have them be absorbed en masse by readers has only grown with the proliferation of the Internet. Now, everyone with a phone, iPad, laptop, or Google glasses can connect to an instantaneous world of information that stretches across the planet in seconds. The champions of that information are the self-appointed revealers of truth, constantly seeking to influence others through their articulation and mental prowess. And I will say again, do your homework. Number seven, policemen. The power of life and death on your hip, a badge of authority on your chest, a uniform of distinction, and a really loud siren. Everyone's familiar with the stereotype of a bad cop, those officers who readily abuse their power, resent the people they are meant to protect, and use cold-hearted superiority to justify their viciousness. Okay, we're going to go on to the next one. And unfortunately, I will say in my own life, I saw this, not in my father's house. If I ever finish writing my memoirs, that will be the title of, if not the book, one of the main chapters, Not in My Father's House. The last place you should see that sort of corruption and abuse. Clergymen. What better way to fulfill your God complex than become one of his messengers? If you embody and speak for the higher forces of the universe, people's admiration and congregation around you will constantly stroke the darkest portions of your vanity, at least until they catch you abusing children. And I want to add to that, or lying, or stealing, or committing adultery with someone's wife, or, okay? I mean, if there's no accountability and you're the guy at the top, then why would there be? It's no wonder religions have veered away from monastic humility towards gaudy temples of lavish gold and marble. And we'll just stop on that one because I could actually add to it. Number nine, they have a chef. There are a few things we do on a daily basis that are more intimate than any food. So they have, and you can read this, and number 10 is civil servant. I was kind of surprised by that because I've seen college professors who are kind of this way too, but the biggest one that they missed is politicians. Politicians, oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah, sociopaths love to go into political office because it's an opportunity for them to have power over other people. And that's very important to a sociopath, you know, is to have power over others. They have a very large ego, but it is also very fragile at its core. So if you'd like to do some more reading on sociopathy and what a sociopath is, I again recommend that book, The Empathy Trap book. It was really written to help empaths that have, and apaths, those who have been abused and come out of those situations, to help them in healing and in helping them to recognize and how to not get caught in that pattern again. There's a lot of good information out on the web, a lot of really good books that have been written about that. And yeah. If that's something that is going on in your world up close and personal, then I would strongly suggest that you do some reading on that. And again, there are different support groups and individuals that can help and support you past that sort of thing. You know, maybe you were raised by a borderline personality disorder mother, or maybe your father was a narcissistic sociopath, and narcissism is completely self-absorbed. So for those who, or maybe you've come out of a relationship or you're in a relationship where that's going on, it's interesting to see because the use of Facebook and social media, how a sociopath uses social media to be able, it's like, how do I want to say, it's like a vampire shopping for their next, you know, bite or whatever. While they've got one over here, they're still, they're looking for an upgrade. they're looking for the next one. And so they may have five or six or seven going at the same time because they're always looking for the better deal and the thrill. It's like because their emotional set is so shallow or their range of emotion, they have rage. Like I said, they have rage. They have self-pity and they have, anyway, they don't love. But the thrill of the next whatever, it's really all the gratification they're getting emotionally. They're getting their needs met that way. Maybe they're using that for financial gain. Maybe they're using it for stability. Maybe they're using that to find their next place to live or to find a job or however they're doing that. And so it's very interesting because what they'll do is they will go looking for the next person and that they're going to use, and they will mirror, the term is mirror, that person. They feel like that person feels like they found their soulmate because this person has actually profiled and studied them. And because we put so much out on Facebook or whatever, you know, through social media, we let so much personal information out there, and because there aren't the natural boundaries and walls that you would have in the natural world around you, normally, you know, how we would traditionally get to know people, well, those things aren't in place. And so you can get caught up in a private conversation or whatever. And before you know it, you know, you're saying things and you're confiding in that person. They've already been watching you. They already know you're vulnerable and they instinctively know it. Can I say that? A true sociopath, it's like a gift or whatever, that they're able to quickly read and just without even thinking and assess people. They're really good at it. And then they're able to address and communicate with that person in a way that that person is going to feel like they've known this person all their life. That's my soulmate, like I said. And then they will, you know, if that person is no longer useful to them or they've gotten what they want, they have there's no compunction. They will cut that thing off and they're done. No skin off their nose. And that's, I mean, seriously, they don't even feel it. So it's really interesting to watch. You know, if you're useful, and that's the term they'll use. They'll say love, but they mean useful. And if you're a person who truly does love and they've used that language and you believe them, that can be pretty traumatic. I was in that situation for 34 years in a church. And I was very close to the person in authority and his wife, his family, whatever. And it was very traumatic. It took me years to wake up. I mean, there was that cognitive dissonance, but they kept telling me they meant that. So, and they were very controlling, very powerful, you know. And so, I mean, it took me years to realize, oh, wait a minute. Oh, my gosh. That's not so. Am I angry at them? No. Did they do a lot of damage? Oh, yeah. But I figure that's between them and at God. What's done is done. And, you know, they're not there anymore. They don't have that power anymore over other people's lives, and certainly not mine or my family, so for the most part. And so, that's why it fascinates me when I look at sociopathy, when I look at why people do what they do. And so back again to the bigger picture. And I've sat here and rambled on tonight about a lot of this. But if you're out there and what I'm saying resonates with you on a personal level in your life, I would encourage you to do some research into this. And if it's something from when you were growing up, family, whatever, you need to get some help, get some help. It's available to you if you don't understand the whys. You know, if it's a situation where you're looking at the bigger picture that we're all dealing with on a national scale and what's going on, this will help you to understand how they think and why they're able to, you know, just blow us up and why they're able to have Agenda 21 depopulation. Because they look at us the same way an exterminator looks at an infestation of bed bugs. It's no different to them. They're just like, you know, needs to go. We don't need them. Or maybe they're good worker bees, but these aren't. Or, you know, you're just not useful to us anymore. So, you know, you're done. You have no value outside of how you are useful to them. Not to society, to their plan and agenda. They are very agenda-based and driven. That's important information to know. So I've shared a lot of information with you tonight on the Sunny Thomas Show. Talked a lot about the GOP. Woo! The horse race. The Miss America pageant. Except they're not so pretty. And we talk a lot about that and about sociopathy. And next week, we hope you'll stay, you'll tune in next week for the Sunny Thomas Show. Won't be much longer. I think about 3 weeks, and our host will be back. His sabbatical will be ended, and he'll be done, and he'll be doing this again. And really anxious to hear him. We're glad to get his vlogs and to have that information and, you know, his take on all that. But it'll be nice when he takes back over. You know, it's like mom's been gone and the babysitter's been here. And so we're anxious for that too. But anyway, next week we will be finishing part two of the Jewish question and talking about Israel. So we hope that you will tune in next week to the Sunny Thomas Show. Same bat channel, same bat place. And we're going to listen right now. We're going to end our show tonight with another Jordan Page song, Until the Race is Run. And I love this song because it kind of sums it all up. When you're looking at the world and how messed things are up. Boy, that's Dutch backwards. How messed up things are. Sorry. Anyway, when you're looking at it that way, again, going down that rabbit hole, it's always good to take a flashlight with you and to be anchored in on the other end. Because that rabbit hole can go pretty deep and it can be pretty scary. So this is your guest host, Catastrophe, for the Sunny Thomas Show, saying good night and blessings on your night and on your household for all those that are listening, and have a good night. Thanks for listening.
Picked up an angel whose left wing was broken. I sewed him together with some string and a vision. He raised his right hand and he gave me an answer. My mouth opened wide and I asked many questions. I see crowds of people all gathered around me. They all want the truth, but they don't want to hear it. I fear they will rob me if I dare to speak it. But poverty bears the fruits of the prophets. And oh, I am nothing. And if it's held prisoner, I'll break chains to free it. I ride through the cities like Christ on a donkey. When I know that Jesus is sitting beside me. And if any man shall ask, he'll be given. And from him who steals, much more will be taken. 'Cause there's many wrong roads that lead to the prison. So pray for us sinners, a squabbling and fighting. Whoa. Keep moving.